Warning. Warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the J6 Hearing Eve Edition. How you doing, my little buddy? I'm damn gleeful. I've been for days.
I am great, Crudy. I cannot wait to hear this tomorrow. J6 Eve. It's going to be exciting. Hello, Brian, Evan, our fair audience. Great to be with you. Happy hour. Happy hump day, happy hour. Lots to talk about today and certainly tomorrow.
You know, the select committee better have all the presents Crudy wants wrapped up under that hearing tree that, you know, that rhetorical tree, if you will. Dom, had John Nichols on earlier, and John was saying, you know, this could be a made for media consumption kind of event. You know, we're talking about the fact the American people, you know, we've been trained by YouTube videos and whatever, man. People don't have the attention span they used to have. Dom, answer me truthfully, if that's possible.
Nah.
When's the last time you read a book? Like a book, not a magazine article.
I'm reading James Baldwin's book, but I started that in like February, and I'm probably into like 3 chapters.
So. February before the pandemic?
No, this February. So yeah, I don't. It takes me a long time to get through, you know, actual books. I mean, I do so much reading
because your attention span is terrible, dude.
No, it's not at all.
I've known you since college. It's like 8 minutes tops.
At all. Come on. When's the last time you
barely
read a
make
book?
It through a segment?
I don't know that the lack of reading a book is exactly correlated with attention spans. There's probably people who have good attention spans that don't read.
Do you have a library card, Salvia?
I do not.
Could you check out a book right now?
Yeah, my wife's
library?
On the library board, man. So yeah,
no, I didn't ask.
They know me down there.
Check out a book. Hey, you know, my better half, she works around here.
Help her brother out.
Is that the new standard?
We do have, but you know, no, YouTube has not been around as long as broadcast television and radio, for example. So while we certainly can get all sorts of information now, I'm not clear that it's any less attentive than it ever was.
The American attention span.
Yes.
Are you freaking kidding me? Come on, man.
Well, what do you think? Like some back in the 50s in the black and white days that people were dialed in and reading books every day and watching the news every
yeah,
day?
Yeah, kind of.
No.
Because well, you didn't have the alternative.
Because is that what you saw? Leave It to Beaver, man? Is that what you believe?
Yes.
That's how it was? That's not.
Enormous
no,
audiences.
Come on.
Yes. The American people overwhelmingly watched the three networks, man. The nightly news, Howard Cronkite, that guy was a. He was a god. I'm telling you, man, it was a different day. Don't you remember when you were a kid? I know your family didn't even let you have a TV. Thought it might warp you in some way.
Yeah, see how that worked out.
But for those of us that had television as children, you know, before the advent of the cable box with the cord and you had the multi-buttons, and, you know, if you held that one button down on the end on the Skinamax, you might get some, you know, adulty sort of soft, skinny video kind of stuff. I couldn't be the only one that did that. But anyways, before there was cable, there was just three networks and PBS, baby. There wasn't even a Fox. And if you wanted entertainment, you either plop your ass down in front of the boob tube or you turn on the radio like
yeah,
good
before
human
that
beings,
you had to go to vaudeville and go to the fair, man. So what are you saying? I mean, so we have much more, we have many more options now, right? We have
yes,
more options
there,
now
there
than we used to. And with all those options combined, I would submit that more people are paying attention to different things, certainly,
yeah, but
than
you can't
just
get
what's
everyone
being fed to them by the three main networks from back in the day.
There are more people paying attention to more and differing things. But you can't get them to pay attention to the singular important thing, like democracy. That's the problem. It's not that you, sure, man, there's differentiated audiences all over the world now. It didn't used to be like that. There was no differentiation. There was just Walter.
Yeah, you had to eat what Walter feds you. And now you can look up your own.
And the world was a better place, at least in terms of the information we were presented by our newscast.
Really? I absolutely disagree with that statement. So what exactly, what years are we talking about that the world was a better place?
I didn't say the world. I said journalism was a better place.
The 50s? The journalism. The 60s? What exactly are you talking about?
I would say right up until the propagation of Fox News. I would say it has gone to hell in a handbasket. When Fox News decided they weren't really in the news business, they were in the propaganda business.
For fun making and money profit. Business. And if propaganda makes you money, then they're fine with that.
But they're also moving the needle, man. This was created under Nixon. Roger Ailes was a Nixon, right? Ailes worked in Nixon's White House. Ailes' bright idea was Fox News. Someone put $500 million, poured it down a sinkhole until that bad boy got up and started running on its own. And now it is moving the electorate farther and farther to the right, or at least it's dividing our nation. Because they're not giving you the truth. And they're telling you, not only are they not giving you the truth, they don't tell you that, but they're telling you you cannot believe the truth that anyone else tells you. We're the only credible source. Right-wing talk radio and Fox News says we're the only ones that tell you the truth. What's Donald Trump tell you all the time? I'm the only truth.
Believe
if me. I don't believe me.
Yeah, he's everyone said. And Crudy, would you say that we tell the truth and we're the ones that should be relied upon? Would you say that about us?
Well,
so everyone says they're the only ones who can give you the truth.
I'd stand up to fact check scrutiny any day, man. Bring on the PolitiFactors any day. Any statement I make, if I get it wrong, I try to correct the record. I don't see him doing that on Fox News. You know, there are definitely specific ways. We know this, man. We're ombudsmen for our audiences. We tell you what we think is the important news for you to know. And that's an important function in this media industry, in this world we live in. Because if we don't tell you, hey, pay attention to this, you got busy lives. You're trying to get the kids off to soccer practice, whatever the case may be. People don't always know, hey, what should I know? Well, I tell you what, tune in here and we'll tell you what you should know. And we'll also tell you who's sticking it to you? It's probably Dom. 844-967-2789. Going to get a couple of early callers in this hour. Jeannie from Middleton, welcome. What do you got?
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Crudy and Dom. I wanted to bring to Dom's attention something that I did in the I graduated from high school in 1970. And when I was in high school, there was this thing that we did at lunchtime. Is we had a little, the school had a little, and we sold paperback books. People bought them. You know, they were typically 50, 75 cents or whatever. But the point being is that's what people found was entertaining back in the time frame when I was in high school. And we were a very successful club. You know, it was called Library Club. And so I just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention. That is something that was not that long ago, at least in my lifetime.
But Jeannie,
we used to read.
The Dom always perceived himself to be the cool kid. I've known Dom for a long time. He wouldn't have bought the paperback books, not in 1970, not in 1950, not in 1870. Dom's not reading your books, Jeannie.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, but you would have tuned into the two Irish guys beating each other in the streets channel, right? right. They had that back then.
Jeannie, do you think there's a comparable activity today to what you were doing back then?
I went to the Netherlands and Turkey, and I found it quite interesting that this was a group of individuals. The youngest was 22, and I was the oldest at almost 70. And the number one thing that they seemed to want to do was eat.
I want to join that club, Gene.
Yeah, right.
Well, I just found it so interesting because, of course, basically we've replaced a lot of our social activities away from doing something in the sense of reading a book or talking about a book or having some social engagement that way, to where the idea that we're constantly doing WhatsApp and sharing these little moments of, you know, somebody thinks it was important. And what surprised me, it wasn't the 16-year-old kid. It was the 30-year-old that was doing this. And they were obsessed with eating all the time. I mean, our activities were going from breakfast to snack, lunch to snack to, you know, dinner at 9 o'clock.
What time did the day drinking start, Jeannie?
Second breakfast, 11sies?
I don't think he knows about second breakfast, Brian.
And I want to emphasize, these were all wonderful people, but it just really took me back because, of course, I was used to a different crowd. And I was not aware that food had become the sole. And this wasn't just people from the United States. This was people from all over the world. So we can't be accused of that. There was only three of us from the U.S. So, you know, I just found that interesting. So in answer to your question, we have replaced reading books and things of that nature to focusing our energy around food.
Well, I resemble that remark.
Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. Certainly, different cultures, the Italians come to mind, are very focused around food. And food is a very important part of their culture and of the family. So I get it, man. Food is important. But let me just throw this one out there before we go to break. And you can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. DrudgeReport.com has a posting from PBS on his page. He's a news aggregator. Google News, 1.6 billion billion page views in May. 1.6 billion. CNN, 1.2 billion. New York Times, over a billion. Fox News, under a billion. 946 million page views. All right, so those are the top three. Yahoo News, 700 million. Drudge, 655 million page views per month. Now, what? Walter Cronkite was getting 20, 25 million viewers when he was on
every night
at a population of 200 million.
He had an audience of something like 400 million a month, dude. 22 million, 22 nights a month.
Yeah, Google's got 1.6 billion page views, dude.
I'd still take Walter. Come on. More devil's advocates.
Well, I just don't respect her as a journalist. I have no respect for her. I don't think she's very good. I think she's highly overrated.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
I say that you're a terrible reporter.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are.
You are a rude, terrible person.
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on this fine program. Toll free talk or text. Hit us up at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I just want to be sure we're not arguing the same point from different perspectives.
What's that?
It is my strongly held belief that journalism was more respected once upon a time back in the, you know, call it the Cronkite days. And we as a nation, you know, when let's say a pandemic came down the pike and Cronkite said, you know what, put on a mask, you people, that's what the government wants you to do. You know what? There wasn't such a effort to say, don't trust the media. Don't trust the government. I mean, that's a new thing. Isn't it? I know there were always anti-maskers.
No. I mean, this country fought a revolutionary war against a government, man. So,
well, but that's not okay, analogous to journalism, man. I'm talking about journalism. Stay on topic here, Sal.
Okay. So yellow journalism only is a recent thing? Is what your point? I guess I'm not clear.
I'm saying the undermining of the credibility of the quote unquote mainstream media, be it print media, in our world, broadcast media. Once upon a time, there were trusted sources, and now there are few or zero trusted sources. You cannot find uniformity where everyone says, you know what, if Walter Cronkite says it, you know, the war in Vietnam needs to end. When Cronkite said it, it was effectively done. You know, there's no one that has that sort of influence that has that sort of credibility with the American people, because we got a billion different sources of information, and about 80% of them come with an agenda. You know what I mean? And I don't believe, once upon a time, when I used to work in the newsroom, there was a clear differential between the sales department and the newsroom. You know, it wasn't, you weren't out there trying to generate clicks. You were out there trying to cover the stories of your local community or the news of the day.
Historically speaking, then, Crudy, walk me through this. My understanding, and I'm not the journalism major or any of the, know the history, but.
Well, I got a comms degree, but go ahead.
Wasn't it part of the deal that if you were to utilize the people's airwaves and have these licenses, that it was your obligation as the community service to provide news service, right?
Well, and the individual broadcaster, not just the licensee, like. Right now, I am a licensee. I own a radio station, or me and my partners do. I hold the license. But you, Dominic, you didn't have to go and prove competence and understanding of the radio broadcast laws. Once upon a time, you used to have to do that. And of course, to be a broadcaster, you had to qualify individually to be a broadcaster. And above and beyond that, there was a fairness doctrine. I know that's long since in the rearview mirror. But when there's no obligation to give fair coverage to both sides of an issue, guess what? You get a lot of slanted coverage. And the fairness doctrine ain't coming back. So, you know, I can talk about the good old days gone by, but we can also talk about what could be next. And what could be next is, you know what? Guys like us have to grow. There has to be more of us, more outlets, and more alternatives to right-wing talk radio, right-wing Fox News. And I'm not talking about one more Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC. You know, I am less worried about cable news, and maybe because that's not what I do.
But Fox is on cable news, dude. You seem very concerned. I mean, I'm concerned about it. I mean, you can't just discount cable news if Fox is on cable news.
But Fox News is one outlet. There's 81 right-wing talk radio outfits plus church radio stations in the state that are also preaching from the pulpit.
Right.
You know what I mean? That is much more overwhelming. Because
yes.
You got to have cable to have Fox News on your cable dial. But free AM radio, it's all across the state of Wisconsin. And it's telling you, let's go, Brandon. And have you seen the gas prices? And they rigged the election against our guy. You know, the good one, the Cheeto Messiah. 844-967-2789. Your call is always welcome here. Free radio, 844-96-PARTY. Peggy from Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Welcome, Peggy. What do you got?
Hello, Peggy.
Hi, guys. I called around in Madison area, and the only radio station that told me that they were definitely broadcasting the January 6th at 7 o'clock tomorrow night is Channel 15. The other two could not tell me. They're still debating. I'm like, what are you debating about?
More people watching Wheel of Fortune, perhaps. You know, if they think they've got their ads sold, they're going to have to play makeup on their ads. I mean, literally, this is a game of commerce. It would be like Monday Night Football. We have the right to broadcast Monday Night Football, but if the Packers aren't playing, we don't want it because we can make more money on our normal ads. Peggy, this is the Monday Night Football. This is the Super Bowl of politics. Oh, but they're making more money on what, Roseanne reruns? I don't even know what plays on the news anymore or on the TV.
I actually would think that they would want to tell the American people, lay it out there.
Play right. History
yeah.
For the people? I mean, all the major networks are playing this, Peggy. The individual stations may not have a clear mandate from their ownership yet that they are going to play it, but I would guess, Peggy, I could be wrong. But the vast majority of ABC, CBS, NBC affiliated stations will play it. The Fox stations probably will not. And if you need it, find it right here on Devil Radio 92.7 because we're going to play it out live.
Yeah, I got you guys on my list. So my other question is, why can Biden not go after the gas, the guys that are gouging us?
Well, they're not just gouging us, Peggy. The price of oil in the world has gone up precipitously after Putin's invasion in Ukraine. But guess what? It was going up before that because the demand had gone up and the oil industry They didn't invest in research and development. They didn't hire people. They bought back their stock. And when the economy changed rapidly post-pandemic, they didn't have the financial resources to go out and hire the number of staff they need to meet the current demand. I mean, it's truly the economy of supply and demand. And they cannot meet the supply. And at the price of oil, like $118 a barrel right now, if they could pump more, they will. More devil's advocates. If we can pump up more commercials, we will. Going to one, coming right back. 844-967-2789.
They won't write stories about it. They won't even talk about it.
Because it was so overwhelming, the thing that we did. I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media.
Who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows it?
You fool!
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the January 6th Eve edition. But someone brought up the high gas prices. We've all noticed. I've noticed, you've noticed, I've been on the road a lot lately, filling up the tank, $100 plus at a crack. But Dom, ooh. I noticed you got a plug-in hybrid, man. You're doing it the smart way these days.
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I actually drive a little bit more than the plug-in would allow to, you know, have me just be totally plugged in. But I'm averaging for, a big four-wheel drive Jeep, like 27 miles a gallon at this point, which isn't too bad. But it's those road trips that kill me, man. You know, if I go up north or go to Detroit, you know, that then it's terrible.
Because you're off the jetpack at that point.
Exactly.
You must have been something before electricity, huh?
Exactly.
You know, I get like 24 plus. I've been getting over 24 in my Jeep. Thanks, Uncle Joe. Cousin Joe.
That's not bad. But it came up yesterday, and it's going to continue to come up. And you're right, Crudy. What can a president, an administration, a legislature do in these regards? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure the Republicans do not want an overbearing government to come in and take control of the means of supply and distribution of oil, right?
No, they want to blame Joe Biden before the midterms.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
I know you posted Bloomberg reporting, and you, I believe, posted the Raw Stories annotated version of this. Right now in Hong Kong, you've heard of Hong Kong, Dom. Know what they're paying for 1 gallon of gas? Like 11 bucks.
Yeah.
11 bucks, according to a U.S. News and World Report, and that was last month. Norway is the second highest gas price at about $9.64 per gallon. Denmark, $9.32 per gallon. So here's the point. First and foremost, the inflation, it's high everywhere, right? I mean, it's not globally. Just the United States.
It's global inflation. It was a global pandemic. It was a global recession. It was a global recovery. And now we're dealing with a global inflation. Yes.
Now, let's talk about the oil and gas industry for just a minute. How'd they do?
They're doing great, man. Record profits.
Well, not only record profits, but record stock buybacks. Because that way you buy up that diluted share. You make your value greater. But it doesn't actually, do anything other than push up your stock price. But the big oil companies, Dom, Exxon and Chevron, both pledged up to $10 billion in stock buybacks this year. Well, you got to have, net profit to buy that stock back, or gross profits, perhaps, minus expenses, because you still got to have the money in the bank to buy the stock back. But you got $10 billion lying around in the bank to, not invest. Not to drive down prices or increase production, but to buy stock? Oh, yeah, there's a few more. BP, $4.15 billion in buybacks.
This is the thing, though.
Shell, $8.5 billion this year.
Free market capitalism. That is the answer to the Republicans. Why is this happening? Free market capitalism. Yes, certainly. The pandemic, recessions, recovery, a war. And how the oil companies themselves
Joe
have
Biden
been
did that.
Behaving. That's not Joe Biden. So, you know, the answer to their question is free market capitalism. This is what they want. This is what we want. Unfortunately, this is what we're dealing with. And perhaps, just perhaps, what can we pull the strings on what we can control as the people, as the government, doing business with the oil companies, leasing prices, those kinds of things, other regulation, price controls? I don't know. Is that something that the Republicans want? Is that what you want? Price controls implemented by the Biden administration? Are you then
supporting?
Don't
ask me to get inside the mind of a liberal progressive socialist Marxist.
I'm just asking questions over here, Republicans.
Dominic, I want to quote a source a little close to home. Detroit Rock City, the Detroit News. Senator Debbie Stabenow from Detroit, or from Michigan more accurately, has come under fire from conservatives on social media. And what's her crime, Dom? Boasting about driving her electric car from her home state to D.C. over the weekend amid skyrocketing gas prices. How dare she buy an electric car? Here is a little bit more. During a Senate Finance Committee hearing Tuesday that included a discussion with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about record high gas prices, Stabenow mentioned that she had waited a long time for the microchips necessary to buy an electric vehicle. I got it, and I drove it from Michigan to here this last weekend and went by every single gas station. Didn't matter how high it was. I'm looking forward to the opportunity for us to move vehicles that aren't going to be dependent on the whims of oil companies and international markets. Heresy, I tell you, Don.
It's true, baby.
Now, the national average for gasoline as of today, $4.95 per gallon, according to AAA. That's the highest ever recorded average price. In Michigan, the average price is $5.21 a gallon as of Wednesday. And a clip of Stabenow's statement went viral online in conservative circles, where the Republican National Committee Chair, Rona McDaniel, kind of dropped the Romney part, didn't she? Rona McDaniel, U.S. House candidate John James, and others blasted. Stabenow is an elitist due to the high average price of electric vehicles. You know, how much does that coal roller pickup truck cost? Everyone listens to this wealthy elite member of Congress. Just go buy an $80,000 electric vehicle and you won't need to worry about gas prices. However, Stabenow drives a Chevy Bolt, $33,500 made by a GM.
And not only that, with that electric vehicle purchase comes a $7,500 incentive from the government. $7,500 per electric vehicle. So, do you suggest then, Republicans, that you raise it up to maybe $10,000 to entice people to buy, instead of a $33,000 electric vehicle, a $23,000 electric vehicle? Would that be better? So, what exactly is the bitch? You know what I'm saying? Oh, so she has an electric vehicle, so she doesn't have to be impacted by the gas prices. It is a reasonably priced electric vehicle, certainly. $80,000, yeah, you can spend more than that. You can spend as much as you want on any car. It depends on your budget. But practically speaking, you know, people aren't rolling out and buying $80,000, $90,000 cars every single day. And if you're talking about your average person that needs a vehicle to get from A to B, we have incentives provided by the government, Republicans, right now to help those prices stay lower.
You're a communist.
Here's the final thought from that article.
Yeah.
One thing that would help the electric vehicle pricing averages going forward will be more sales of products like the Chevy Bolt. That's what Stabenow drives. And the Nissan Leaf. EVs priced from more mainstream brands. But we expect EV pricing to remain above industry average pricing for some time to come. Because our rich friends aren't buying enough Teslas now.
844-967-2789.
Or their Jeep hybrid. It is a cool. It's a cool looking truck.
It's a 4xE and it's got the roof.
When do I get to drive that thing?
Back. It's fun. It's fun.
I've let you drive the devil wagon, haven't I?
844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. You're up, Bill. Welcome. What do you have for us?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, thanks for the great job you guys do. I was going to talk about something different, but as long as we're talking about the oil companies, do you realize they're subsidized over $200 trillion, fossil fuel industry subsidized? And I'm sure you guys have a concept.
That seems like a big number, Bill. Like, I got to be honest with you, Bill. 200 trillion seems like 20 times the.
Is that the entirety, like, of the all oil, of all subsidies, of all
of
time?
All time?
Like all fossil fuel, right, across the boards. I Googled it. I got it out of Google. Here's something else. They had record profits of over $200 billion this year, the oil companies. Here's something else. They have mineral rights on federal land, our land. They have rights. There is so many ways we can control the cost of gas right now. I'll give you a couple of options. One, we can nationalize it. Two, we can also take, because the reason we can nationalize it, they're using federal lands, taxpayer lands. We got a right to nationalize it.
Slow down, Bill. You think they call us communists now, man? What about Stabenow's attitude?
When a communist calls me a communist, like they do, and they took a knee to Putin, whatever they say, crude, is not even credible. We've got Rojo. He thinks that when people kill people at the Capitol, that's about what tourists do. Well, he's not even credible. He's lost his credit. But getting back to the oil companies, really research how much they have that they could pump right now. This is done by design. They're the only game in town. Of course they're raising the rates. It doesn't bother me at all for a couple of reasons. We have fuel-efficient vehicles, super fuel-efficient vehicles, and I knew this was coming. I bought stock in the oil companies.
Come on, Bill. You freaking traitor, man. You can't play the stock market. You can't play the short game and buy the oil stocks. That's counterproductive, Bill.
I'm retired, and I need to, you know what I mean.
You need to get rich.
It helps. But let's just go back to the oil companies. Just do a real research on subsidies, mineral rights, and the profits they're making, and how much they could be pumping. According to people in the oil business, for instance, our local suppliers, they could pump twice as much and drive the price down if they chose to do so. But they don't choose to do so. Why? Because they have no constraints. It's their turn to make some serious money. Now, if Biden had a backbone, he could control it. And if they call us communists, big deal. What do I care?
But, Bill, I'm not rooting against the American economy, because obviously this has ripple effects through all industries that are affected by the supply chain. But, Bill, don't we want to see more electric vehicles? I mean, doesn't $5 gas make you think, man, I wish I had a plug-in hybrid or whatever the case may be? Well, more people are going to think like that. And it's not an artificially generated environment by the Biden administration, but if this is the reality, well, shouldn't you take advantage? I mean, let's stop encouraging more pumping of gas and encourage more subsidies for alternatives.
Or just take away the subsidies, Bill.
Those are some damn good perks they get, Bill.
Exactly. If we start tapping the perks of the oil companies, boy, you'll see that price come crashing down. I guarantee it. But the thing is, there's too many people whose back pocket are filled by the oil company on both sides. Too many have a lot of money to lose if you really clamp down on those companies. But those companies, now I'm all for electric. My son has a hybrid. I love it. Our next vehicle will probably be a hybrid or an electric. I believe him 100%. But remember, Trump removed all the EPA regulations, which would have averted what's going on now.
But, Bill, the industry is leading, Bill. The industry is not waiting. They're leading on this topic. You know, they're basically doing whatever they need to do to be, you know, cutting edge, because they know what's coming next. Republicans can put their heels down and put their heads in the sand, but we are going through a revolution in transportation. And the old, horse and buggy, the gas-powered, petrol-driven motors. I mean, man, this society, people just will not be able to afford them anymore.
Thanks for the call, Bill. GM, as far as I know, and others, as you mentioned, you know, the industries are leading because, of course, consumers want that. And of course, we're burning up this earth. I mean, we had the most carbon dioxide emissions ever. Again, of course we did, because that's what
Fancy
we do.
Fancy Brian ate pinto beans last night, though.
But GM's going to go all electric by 2035. All right, so that doesn't mean like all the old cars. You know, I still have a 1976 Cadillac that I'm running on the same tank of gas that I had last fall.
That baby gets like $6, you know? 6 miles a gallon, doesn't it?
Oh, man, I got like a quarter tank left in that thing.
Buck a mile these days.
But so they're still going to be, you know, gas-powered vehicles. But when the industry gets to the point, and within our lifetimes, hell, within the next 10, 15 years, when you see a company like General Motors stop making regular combustible engines, that's a big shift. Now, of course, gas, oil, I mean, we are an oil-driven world economy, and it is certainly a national security issue as well. So we're never going to get rid of it. But we can certainly reduce the emissions without question. And thankfully, people are realizing that and the companies are responding.
You are no Judd Clampett. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789.
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You're a communist!
And they're the ones writing it off.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Electric Avenue. Nice one, Brian. 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. You've been holding longest. What do you got, my friend?
Oh, hey, Mark. Not a problem. Not a problem, brothers. I hear it on the ads. So they're talking about some of the just switch gears a little bit. They're talking about the testimony given by, you know, the little girl who smeared blood on herself, you know, from her friend.
The fourth grader from Uvalde gave congressional hearing today.
And the mother who was testifying. I mean, and they've just got done having the funerals there. And the courage of these people speaking out on this and the whole lack of, I don't know what they're lacking, just the whole lack of humanity on the part of some of these Republicans who are dismissing this testimony and say, well, this, you're politicizing this. You know, it's too soon to be talking about this. When is it the right time to be talking about this stuff? I mean, because every time this happens, they say, well, it's too soon to be talking about it. Well, I mean, that we've had this happen before in the past. I mean, back when Sandy Hook happened, I mean, we didn't talk about, you know, they avoid talking about it then. I mean,
well, Mark, I think there is some bipartisan legislation, and Chris Murphy from Connecticut's pushing this legislation. Now, I think they've even got Joe Manchin on board. Now, it will not include a universal background check, and it will not include a raising of the gun purchase age to 21. But apparently it's got some red flag stuff that, you know, both parties can agree on. Mark, do you want to see this small step in the right direction? Or, you know, ultimately, would you like to see the political outrage held against Republicans this fall?
Well, I think there's got to be both. I think the small steps are good for a starter, but there's no reason we can't go to the 21-year-old purchase age for these semi-automatic weapons and actually a buyback on large-capacity magazines and say it's 10-shot magazines, that's all you need. That's what Bill Ruger said we needed back in 1989. You don't need any more than that to shoot the hogs or to shoot the prairie dogs. But let's remember that back in the day, you didn't use that kind of weapon to shoot prairie dogs or pests or anything like that. You used a bolt-action rifle. You're usually at 222 or a 243 for that kind of thing. It's just ridiculous that they think, oh, we need an M15 to do, you know, the AR-15 to do this nonsense. Back in the early 70s, that using that kind of weapon was frowned upon by hunters.
You know, Mark, it's bazooka for me, man. I'm taking that prairie dog out.
Suitcase nuke for me, man. I'm taking all the prairie dogs out.
I want something that kills it and cooks it at the same time.
While we've got time, and we know there are a few patient callers. We hope they're patient at 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian, we've got some sound. And it's not Merrick Garland Day, but the Attorney General did have remarks today on the Texas school shooting. Let's start with Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, cut 10, please.
The review will be comprehensive, it will be transparent, and it will be independent.
More from AG Merrick Garland, cut 11.
The review will culminate in a final report, which will include our findings and recommendations, and it will be made public.
I would recommend the police chief in Uvalde? That guy needs to get fired, but that's beside the point. Let the investigation happen first. More from Merrick Garland. Cut 12, please.
We've been invited by the mayor. We have been promised, assured, and welcomed with respect to cooperation by every level of law enforcement, state, federal, and local.
Now, Fancy Brian, Dominic, I don't know if you'd seen this headline, but an armed man was arrested near the Supreme Court, apparently looking for Brett Kavanaugh. And apparently that person has now been charged with attempted murder and said his mission was to take out Kavanaugh.
He was arrested near Kavanaugh's home.
My apologies. I didn't mean to misinform the audience. Here is what Merrick Garland had to say today about the SCOTUS threats. Cut 13, please.
This kind of behavior is obviously is behavior that we will not tolerate. Threats of violence and actual violence against the justices, of course, strike at the heart of our democracy. And we will do everything we can to prevent them and to hold people who do them accountable.
On a similar topic, we've got President Joe Biden, also on gun reform. Now, they've asked Joe to stay out of the bipartisan negotiations, but we do have sound of the president. Let's play as much as we can, Fancy. Starting with cut one, please.
It's time the states and the localities spend the money they have to deal with crime, as well as retrain police officers, as well as provide for more community policing. It's time to get on with doing that, and that's what I think the message last night from the American public was in all the primaries.
More from Biden on guns and crime. Cut two.
Both parties have to step up and do something about crime as well as gun violence.
More from Biden. Cut three, please. Billions.
With the first major bill we passed, we gave the states and localities billions of dollars. Billions of dollars to have, and encourage them to use it to hire police officers and reform the police department. Very few have done it.
More from Biden. Cut four, please. Congressional requests.
I sent the Congress a request for $300 million in this year's budget to deal with hiring cops, to retrain cops, as well as to make sure they are adequately dispersed around the communities. It's time they move.
One more from Biden. State and local. Cut five.
It's time the states and the localities spend the money they have to deal with crime, as well as retrain police officers, as well as provide for more community policing.
Tom from Madison. You're up, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys were talking at all about Rolling Stone's article about the GOP memos that went out to all the politicians to avoid bringing up the topic of guns at all. Just go to any other topic you can. And also, if you have to bring up gun violence, just talk about Chicago.
I haven't seen that specific reporting, but that seems like the typical talking points, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, no, that was definitely there. And I think I was present when the Clefish campaign office got that memo, because I was just going through my morning Facebook, and I was on the Clefish campaign page. And all of a sudden, there was a photo of Rebecca holding a rifle. And as I was about to comment on it, it just disappeared. I think I know the precise moment she got the message, and it was just like a couple of days ago. But definitely Google Rolling Stone and GOP memo, and you will see an incredible story about how they want everybody walking that exact same line. Their messaging is so professional, it's ridiculous.
Tom, that's shocking that the Clayfish campaign would blow with the political winds. You know, I recall when she declared a rigged election suddenly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the wind must be blowing from the
Mar-a-Lago.
Talking points. Oh, Mar-a-Lago, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they get their walking orders, talking orders, marching orders?
Two-stepping orders.
Nothing for you. More devils.
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
You must have been something before electricity, huh?
Did I break wind?